Today my guest is Michael Crum. Michael, how you doing?
Doing very good. How about you?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
So I am a XAML evangelist. I work at Telerik.
XAML evangelist.
Yes, so I'm spreading all of the good news about Silverlight, WPF, Windows Phone 7, and some of our other XAML tools that are upcoming.
So, very cool. I want to talk to you about a blog post that you wrote recently about, 11 things that every developer should be doing in 2012. I'm not sure I'm quoting exactly for word, but it's 2012 now, and we're several weeks into it, so I feel like I'm behind already. What should we be doing?
No, you're not. So at the end of last year, I started putting together kind of a list of things that I thought every developer should be doing, and of course I wanted to make sure that I was doing them myself before I go and start telling other people to start doing them. So just to start things off, the first thing was to get on Twitter. Okay. So when I first started getting into like software development, I decided, okay, I want to follow all of the big name developers. I want to know exactly what they are doing. The open source guys, and then just the guys in my local community. So if you get on Twitter, you're able to connect with those people. You're able to keep the conversation going. And when it gets really cool is that you're able to see instantly when maybe they've made an update to their open source project.
Right.
And you can get that information instantly. You can go check it out. And you're also kind of just in the know of developer news. So if something big is going on at Microsoft, they recently talked about eliminating Mix. I didn't learn that from going to any other blog or anything. I learned that from checking out Twitter.
Twitter is kind of interesting because Twitter isn't really a tech tool. It's a social tool.
Yes.
But tech people tend to use it as a tech tool.
They do.
They use it as both.
They do, and I'm really surprised at how many people are using that nowadays.
It's replacing their RSS feeds.
It is replacing their RSS feeds, and especially...
I should say their aggregators, the news aggregators.
Oh, yeah. And especially using hashtags.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, I'm in the XAML space, so I love everything, XAML. So I follow a couple of different tags like Silverlight, WinRT, WPF and things. So even though I may not be following that person, I can still see what the conversation is around Twitter on that topic. And if somebody is saying something about Silverlight that may be incorrect, and maybe I can spread some knowledge and be able to help my other fellow developer, then I can respond to that tweet. So hashtags is another really big benefit to using Twitter.
All right, let's get through as many 11 points as possible. So what's next after Twitter?
Another item on the list is to read Stack Overflow daily. So Stack Overflow is something that I've been really passionate about for a while, and not really answering questions, but going and seeing what questions people ask. So you want to become a better developer, you go to Stack Overflow every day, you check out some of the questions people are asking, you learn more about the technology, and if something pops up that you've never hit before, of course you can just do a search on Stack Overflow and find your answer for yourself.
That's usually why I use Stack Overflow. I don't visit them every day, but I find myself there a lot.
Google. Exactly. So that's another big resource that I have used in the past.
Keep going.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So the next one is to start a blog. So
that's a hard one. That
is a really hard one.
I've got things on my list that say, learn Ruby, and it's like two words that are a huge commitment. Start a blog is like that, three words.
Exactly. Start a blog, it's a very huge commitment, but it is something that, I started several years back. One of the things is that, I've been hearing that resumes are kind of becoming outdated, that, now nowadays people are looking at blogs. You want to see, hey, has that person been involved in technology for the last, several months, several years? If they are blogging, they're sharing their technical knowledge with everybody. And then another reason that I pointed out was, it's just helping our fellow developer. It's helping expand our craft, software development.
You have a blog, right?
Absolutely.
Where's that?
MichaelCrump.net. And then, of course, I have my Telerik blog at blogs.telerik.com/MichaelCrump.
Okay.
And that's where I blog all things Telerik.
All right. Well, what was that, three, four? Where are we now? Where are the fours next?
Yeah. So we're on number four. And number four was just kind of get out there. So a lot of developers, and I was, this was the same way that I kind of lived my life, was that, you know, I was kind of afraid to get out there and go to user groups and to get involved in local community. You know, I was that guy that, you know, I was programming kind of in the corner, in the dark corner, you know, with my Star Wars figurines. And that was pretty much the only thing that I had. But then when I finally started, you know, going out in the community and connecting with people, I was just blown away. Really at the connections that you make and the relationships, and, you know, hey, if you ever need help, you know, with anything, you have several people that can help you out.
I've been preaching this one for a long time. If you get out in the community and you start meeting the other people that are doing interesting things, you not only have access to their knowledge, but you start to have access to the knowledge of the people that they have connected with. Okay. You start to learn who's good at what, who can I call when I have this kind of a question. And then it's fun as well.
Yeah, it's always fun. So, just moving right along, the next one is to carry around the modern phone. Now, I know that's kind of funny that I'm saying that, but in different types of professions, so you have a real estate agent. Well, a real estate agent, you know, probably shouldn't show up to your house, you know, in some beat down clunker. You know, you want to know that, you know, they're doing well, you know, that they're going to be the right person to kind of sell your house. And most real estate agents, you know, they try to drive around maybe the more fancier type of cars, you know, and things like that. And it's just something that comes along with it. You know, just like, you know, somebody that maybe in the fashion world needs to carry around like a latest jewelry. And
so you're saying that a phone should be used just as evidence that you're a high-tech person, or is there some sort of through osmosis you're going to actually absorb some of this techiness?
You know, I kind of think of it as, you know, if I'm carrying around, you know, a phone that I couldn't even, you know, send an email out on or anything like that, and I'm with a potential client, that they would look at me and they would think...
would hurt your credibility.
Yeah, my credibility would really be hurt. Okay. And that's the main point there.
All right.
So my next point was on embracing mobile. So mobile is one thing that, you know, so many people, they have just, you know, said, oh, well, it's not going to catch on. This thing isn't going to catch on. Well, it caught on.
Right.
So now mobile is huge, and, you know, building mobile applications, you know, it's huge. It's out there. It's, you know, everybody's, you know, having to do it. And in my post, I believe I talked about that I believe that every developer is going to be building some sort of mobile app somewhere in their career.
Sure. Mobile's this could be a topic for a different show, but mobile has really revitalized the hardware industry. So you got to a point, at least in the U.S., where every desktop has a desktop on it, or a laptop. Everybody's got a computer at their desk. They've got one at home, and they've got one at work. I mean, it's probably an exaggeration, but it's not far from the truth. And who else are you going to sell to? Well, now we're going to sell those same people iPads, phones, smart devices, devices in their cars, all these mobile devices. They've sort of expanded it. And you're right. So we've got to attack it somehow. The question is another title for another show. Is how?
You know,
there's a lot of ways to attack that issue.
There's a lot of ways to attack that. And yeah, like you said, there probably is another show for that one.
All right, I totally agree. Mobile has been strong for a couple of years now. It's going to continue to grow.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. So moving on to the next one is everybody should learn at least one design pattern. So me, of course, I'm a big Silverlight, you know, WPF, okay, Windows Phone guy. So I picked MVVM. Mm-hmm. So in the past, you know, I looked at design patterns and I thought, oh, you know, it's just so much easier, you know, just to double click it and just kind of do a little bit of code behind. And then when I started kind of understanding, you know, the separations of concerns and the things that the MVVM pattern brought to my Silverlight applications, I started using it a lot more than I would in the past.
Okay.
And in the article, you know, I've talked about a really good book by the Gang of Four that was on design patterns. And that's one book that, you know, I think that all developers should at least, you know, give a quick run through as well. It's a very old book, so you get to see that, you know, a book from this age, these design patterns are still completely, absolutely relevant today.
Yeah, that book is also, all the examples are in C. But C or C++, I forgot. But there are, the book's been rewritten several times by other authors in more modern languages.
Yeah.
And so those design patterns have some staying power. That's interesting. I remember reading the Pragmatic Programmer years ago.
Yes.
In which I think it was Andy Hunt is the
All developers, they got to have that book on the
His bookshelf suggestion somewhere. Was that we should learn a new language every year, which is more ambitious than learning a new design pattern. And I never really took to that. It just seemed overwhelming to me. I had to learn my job. I had to learn the project I was working on at the time, aside from all the other stuff I was doing. But maybe learning a design pattern every year is something that's achievable. Or maybe somewhere in between, I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of those things, the design pattern will definitely be a lot easier than a language for a year, but that's exactly one of the things that I think, at least just learn one, maybe not one a year, but just know at least one.
As a start, yeah.
All right. As a starting point.
Fair enough. Let's keep going, we're about halfway through here, I think.
Exactly, yeah. We're I believe on about number 8 or 9 now. The next one is set reachable goals every year. So a lot of the developers that I talk to, they tell me, okay, I'm going to learn Ruby on Rails. I'm going to learn, all of these, other technologies. I'm going to have them down pat. And then at the end of the year, they really have nothing to show for, what did you actually learn?
Right.
And all of that. So what I do is I set reachable goals. So I use Outlook Calendar, something very, very simple. And every 3 months, I put a reminder that will pop up, and it'll say, "Okay, my last goal set was for Microsoft certification." Mm-hmm. So I started with the MCP, the MCTS, and then MCPD, and basically those are just a couple of different layers of Microsoft certifications. And every 3 months, it would pop up and say, "Hey, Michael." Right. Did you accomplish this?
So it's not nagging you every day, but exactly. It's still reminding you that you have these reminding
goals. Me, and there's something that's kind of just—it's always in the back of my mind that will come back up, and I want to reach these goals, and I'm saying you can even put these you could even put out these goals every 2 to 4 weeks, maybe as some sort of little small reminder, hey, maybe get a blog post out, or something. I find that's really helpful.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I have a list of goals, and I actually use paper and pencil for this. I'm just sitting at home, and I try to prioritize them because there are things that I just know I'm not going to achieve, some of which I'll probably never achieve. and which ones they are, it depends. It changes from month to month. So I rework that list about once a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep going. It's good.
Okay, another thing that I mentioned was learn a different programming language.
Oh, okay.
So, and it wasn't learn the full, programming language in a year. I didn't really give a whole, date on that, but just kind of, get in there and start looking at other type of languages. Mm-hmm. So, for me myself, I haven't really done a whole lot of C++. So,
is that your goal this year, to learn C++?
Well, not actually learn C++, like ins and outs of it, but I really want to learn enough that, I can speak intelligently about it. and like I said, not to that level that I wanted to be, blow away. But I blow away somebody, like, "Oh man, you can do this, and all C#'s horrible, you don't want all that managed code stuff." But just something I wanted to do for myself, to just learn a little bit more about, how the programming language works and, my past, my past has never involved any sort of like unmanaged code and stuff. So
yeah, mine either.
It's something kind of new, a new kind of experience for me. And at the end of the day, so far I have gained a new appreciation for C#.
So do you think there's any value if you're, let's say, a C# programmer? Is there any value in like learning VB, something very similar to that? Or do you need to get out of your comfort zone and learn a new paradigm?
I think getting out of your comfort zone getting out of your paradigm is
maybe C++ or maybe a dynamic language or a functional language or something
like
C# doesn't do as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a blog post when I started playing around with F# just as one of those things. There's a lot of great MVPs that kind of just got me into check out what F# can do. Mm-hmm. But basically the whole goal is to just get out of your comfort zone. know, if you're always have been in C Sharp, you know, you just want to become a better programmer, you know, take a look at some of the other languages.
I'm starting to do that now. My only issue with the pragmatic programmer's advice was just the amount of time to invest every single year to learn that, and then also to learn with BizTalk or SharePoint or whatever it was my job required.
Absolutely.
What else?
So another one that I have is boost your confidence. So I know that's another one that seems kind of, you know, strange to bring up.
But, yeah, it doesn't sound like a programmer thing.
But most developers that I've met, you know, they had, you know, maybe, you know, maybe some confidence, you know, in some of the stuff that they did. But a lot of the times, you know, they were kind of shy. You know, they know something, but you know, you may always think there's somebody that knows it all so much better. So what I'm saying is that we all have something to share.
Yeah.
And you know, you can always, the, you know, some of the simplest blog posts, you know, that I've created have been, you know, some of the best reaching of other developers. They'd be like, oh, I was up at midnight tonight, you know, and you helped me with a problem, and I blogged it, but I really only blogged it for selfish reasons, for myself. So, you know, just, you know, be aware that your knowledge is valuable and that you can always share that knowledge with other people.
Sure, through blogging, through speaking at user groups, through Stack Overflow.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
was that... that wasn't 11.
That was 10.
That was 10, okay.
That was 10, so we're finishing up on number 11, and that is basically reading blogs, magazines, books. So, and I know this sounds, back to, you know, this kind of sounds strange, but a lot of developers, you know, they kind of maybe, they may grab the latest issue of MSDN or something like that, but there is so much more information that, you know, you can just grab out of, you know, just various blogs and things. And, you know, blogs is a great resource. Like one of the things that I pointed out was that MSDN magazine, it's free. You can, you know, basically just go download a PDF version of it, you know, on the website. I've had other people say, oh, well, I don't have an MSDN subscription, so you know, I'm not able to, you know, see that magazine. But then other times I would have developers say things such as, oh, well, you know, I would buy that book, or they may feel guilty about buying the book, and thinking, hey, anything that's going to increase your knowledge and make you a little bit better, you know, you really should stop spending, you know, an extra $20 to $25.
Oh yeah.
It's just, you know, get out there, you know, read, you know, read the content, and also, you know, produce content as well.
Michael, good stuff.
Well,
thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'd love to come back.
So.
This technology rocks with my friend Dave.